Well, is we can start by just kind of getting an update, and if others join, we'll get have them give their version of their update. So why don't you tell me how the whole process is going, and you know, how is the team now in performing mode? So, you know, kind of give me an update what's going on.
So we promoted four managers within the year,
Wow.
which is very exciting.
Yeah.
One thing we were frustrated about is when we did that, it was we didn't get promoted at the same time, right? They were like,
Right.
that's when Mike got promoted. And these were our people that from our team that we brought into management. So one of
Are
them
they
actually,
still with you? Are they still with you?
well,
Or
one of
did
them just
they?
left,
Okay.
which hurt to open up an RIA. A young guy, he's only like 25. So
Wow.
I was like, you probably should have built up some assets and then tried to get a payout. But,
Yeah.
a lot of the younger people, what I'm seeing is, and I'm sure it's a conflict in every bigger business at Merrill and all of them, they want to do a lot more online social stuff where the
Right.
old was, family, friends and different, where they're more comfortable. Like they wouldn't call you, Curtis, right? They would text you, or I
That's
would,
right. Right.
it's just a different industry. And I'm like, that was so a little frustrating. I was a little sidelined by that one. So that's
Yeah,
something.
you know, on that point, I would say the in terms of big firms, Morgan Stanley is leading the way in
Really?
terms
Okay.
of allowing their people to have websites, social media platforms with LinkedIn. They themselves are posting on a regular basis. And so, you know, I think a lot of folks are finding that the use of technology is a lever. But at least you're into Zoom, which I think is a good step forward. You just have to educate your clients on how to join you and how to make personal introductions. But yeah, I think that's you know, these young folks, man, you know, they're doing duo calls or whatever the one is that Apple uses, FaceTime. Yeah, they just, well, FaceTime me. Okay, I'll FaceTime you. I mean, you know, these guys, they know that stuff.
It's just a little different. And I try to explain that. I'm like, regardless of whether you're like, hey, that works or not, it makes them feel good to be able to do that and makes them
Yeah.
excited to market it rather than, oh, you're going to call 10 people. They would rather do something. They'd rather do it a different way. It's not that
Right.
they just would rather do it a different way.
Yes, I get it. I get it.
So
Okay, so what else?
that part was frustrating. So we were promised to become senior vice presidents, kind of the same as Mike in January.
Right.
They haven't gone over comp or anything else on that. So
Okay. So
wait
they made
another.
a commitment and you're waiting for them to deliver on that.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right.
So waiting on that, but I think things are going well in general. I mean, the market's booming,
Right.
so managed accounts and others are obviously up and doing well. And doing,
Good. Yeah. The asset growth has been, you know, at least, you know, I don't know about your business, but I'm sure a large percentage of the asset growth occurs through market appreciation.
which is phenomenal. The one thing I did, we brought on a client service associate, so we're getting her up and running.
Okay.
Bit of a learning curve. A big thing I have is I would like people to use the client service associate. Like she goes on for 10% to handle a lot of the back end, the paperwork, compliance, which is forever.
Oh, you need that.
But some of the new advisors don't want that. They're kind of like, oh, you're taking money from me. So I don't know how to really have that conversation, not to be mean and just 'cause I don't like teaching that anymore or coaching on like, here's how you do the paperwork. I just don't. Right. And that's why I brought her along. So this right. is smooth and aligned.
Well, I think that, you know, it really is about billable hours. You've got to ask them what's your time worth?
Yep.
And, you know, I took you through that, forecasting tool, right?
Yep.
So really you can get access to that through Supernova, but it really is, when it gets down to billable hours, how do you want to spend your time? Is paperwork a $20 an hour role that you want to fulfill, or do you want to get to the point where you're billing yourself out at $500 an hour? So it's about leverage.
Yep.
So right now they've got to, they're not trusting it just yet. So you make a deal. Look, you know, let's try enrolling the three clients and see what happens. Okay. And, see what kind of time that frees up for you.
Yep.
I don't know. I can't imagine that anybody who's a producer who is trying to grow their practice loves doing paperwork. That's not how we're made.
No, exactly. I think what happens is with the newer advisors, they have a lot more time on their side, so they don't see the busyness yet, and that's the issue.
That's right. They got to see that, the time value of money and that, spending time with clients is much more, you know, valuable than, doing paperwork. Nobody loves that. No. I talk to people all the time that nobody, you know, you got to be a little off your rocker to be saying, bring me paperwork. I love that. You know, it's like, should you be in operations or something?
Yeah.
Not in an advisory and a sales role.
Yep.
You know, tell them this is how I want you spending your time. That time you're spending on doing paperwork, you could be out trying to develop a new relationship.
Yep. So, I'm with you. Don't always hear it from me. So,
yeah, I know. Let them have it. Let them have it.
Yeah. So I think that's going well. Like we're starting to get, the pieces in place. So, that is exciting, you know, as far as building kind of like, the equitable Supernova.
Your concierge practice, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
That's starting to come together. So that's exciting because we're learning kind of like tweaks to it and what really works for us.
Right.
And within our model, you know,
within your model. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's my goal, is to maximize my income within our model.
Right. Okay. So on a personal note,
yep.
You know, part of one of the things that coach does is he says, well, how are you doing personally? How's your family? How's your lifestyle? I mean, you know, how's all that going for you?
So I'd say very well, like now with our son, you know, very excited to be a dad. So that's going well. Money is always a good thing, right? You know, I like to make money. But I'm a big believer and you know, impact and giving a lot back. So, you know, new things don't really motivate me, you know, like a car, that doesn't. The only big thing I would ask, and I know, you know, this is something I'd like to know your thoughts on, you know, just more personal. And I'm kind of glad Jeff is on the call, but my wife, her whole family's in North Carolina, and that's really where she would want to end up.
Right.
The problem is with me is I'd almost be taking a pay cut to go there. Cause I don't know if I'd get like a partner role that I don't think I'd get a partner role there. I basically would have to go and transfer.
Right.
And start over again almost.
Okay. Well, the life I lived, and I'll talk about personal experience. Whenever I talk about personal experience, it kind of shifts a little bit from kind of quasi coaching to mentoring.
Yeah.
you know, my personal experience is my parents were all in San Diego, California. And yep. So when my wife's family was all in San Diego, California, all of her brothers and sisters and all of my brothers and sisters were in San Diego, with the exception of one, which is up in the Bay Area. Hmm. And I will say, I don't think we got to see family, nieces, nephews, as much as we wanted.
Yep.
And I was so busy working, trying to achieve, that all of a sudden I look up one day and where did the time go?
Yep.
I had a couple of sons and, well, you know, we had a couple of sons and, you know, we wanted them to get me close to their family. And I think they're close, but not as close as I would like.
Gotcha.
So those are the pitfalls. 8 moves, right?
Yeah. I remember you moved a lot. You've told me a lot. Yep.
Yeah. Michigan, Florida, East Coast, and all the families in California.
Yeah.
Yours are the plane ride from Florida to North Carolina is what? Can't be more than an hour, right?
Maybe like an hour change. It's not much.
Yeah. I mean, the Bay Area to San Diego, that's an hour plane ride.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you do is, for now, build your business, stay where you are because that's your lifeline right now. But I think you have to schedule family time. Yep. Okay. And it's got to be deliberate. Okay. Let's look at the budget and let's say, how often do we want to be in the Carolinas? And ask yourself if at some point you want to buy something up there. And so that you travel, you stay at the place that you have, because you're that part of the country, the real estate values aren't like they are here in California.
Yeah, or Florida. I mean, yeah. California's just way out there. So
it's just off. It's off the charts. I can't imagine anybody wanting to come here and to buy a house that, I mean, they have multiple bids. It's just. Yeah.
That's why I turned down California too. So.
Yeah, cause it puts a chunk into your earnings. So you're not really getting ahead unless they pay you. So why don't you and the wife talk about, you know, kind of a strategy to where she can get to family several times a year. I don't know what that means. Is that 4? Is it 5? Is it 6? With the end goal of saving money, buying a place there, and begin to start to work a strategy.
Yep.
That's going to make her feel like we've got some traction in terms of our goals.
Yeah. Cause we rent now and I've missed the boat on the housing really.
Yeah. I know.
So that's a little frustrating, but yeah, I do think too, like, you know, I grew up mostly in South Florida since I was 5.
Okay.
Yeah. And just kind of the lifestyle that, you know, I'd want for like, you know, my son and maybe if we have another one. A big appeal to me is obviously family. And then like, you know, I like hiking, the outdoors, and you don't really do that in Florida. So, at least South Florida. So
yeah, I know South Florida is like, it's an adult kind of playground to a certain extent.
There you go. Or boating. If you're really into the, like the boating scene, it's a really,
yeah.
Unfortunately, I get motion sickness, so I can't.
You and me both.
Yeah. Both scares me, so.
Yeah. So maybe that becomes the plan.
Yeah.
You know, take a certain amount of discretionary income and we'll just go there. And we'll look around. see if there's, you know, a piece of real estate that we might want to buy over a period of time. Maybe not the first year, but start to think about the goals for the family.
Yeah, that was my thought is, you know, I can earn some good money, here and build it up, right?
Yeah.
And then almost pay cash for a home there or get pretty close. So my mortgage isn't much because real estate's so much cheaper there.
Yeah.
You know, and then my thought was maybe making that decision by the time he's like 3 or 4, because I didn't move around a lot as a kid and I'm not like that. So it's like,
yeah,
I pull that trigger or I don't want to pull that trigger and then be done with it. So.
Well, look, here's what you don't want to, I mean, I got pulled out of high school. Well,
yeah, that's,
I mean, you know, going from kindergarten, I got, after kindergarten, we moved to another spot, first through fifth grade. Then I get pulled out and sixth grade in one other place. And then seventh, eighth and ninth and, mid 10th. I get pulled out for part of my junior year. That was tough.
Yeah. There's horror stories with that. So I'm like, I don't. The fact that it even, to this day, you even say it is like, I don't want that to happen, so.
But you know, it's funny, I mean, I did it, but I thrived.
Yeah.
I thrived, and, but you know, it's not for the, average person to do that.
Yeah.
So you and the wife have to sit down and talk about the life plan.
Yep.
What's our life plan going to look like? You know, and I know that you have this, I know you have this pull to be near your family. And we've got this budding career going on here that we need to continue to cultivate. So let's start thinking how often we can go there.
Yeah.
So look around. Ultimately buy something. And so begin to set a plan in place.
So
yeah, go ahead.
One other little crinkle in all of it.
Yeah. Another one on the way? No.
I wish. I hope one day. Not yet. So the other crinkle is, you know, I've been getting frustrated with the partners here.
Yeah.
Like support and growth. And we're moving to a complex. Right. So
right.
The complexes are, you know, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina.
Okay.
And the complex head is my manager. So is my partner.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, you know, I got to be nice to him because he's like, if anything opens up, Lenny, I know you're looking, you know, I'm going to support you. But at the same time, I get frustrated by that. So it's like,
yeah,
I'm being nice and not really kind of.
That's Goldberg.
It's Goldberg's bosses.
So his bosses.
His bosses, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the only other wrinkle is they're now in charge of where I'd want to go, basically.
Okay. Here's what I think you want to do is build your team, build the wealthy income stream, because in parlance, you've got what we call the FU money.
Yep.
You know, and nobody's gonna screw with a top performer.
Yep.
They got worse problems to deal with.
Yep.
Now, smart managers know that they need to spend time with their best performers, helping them get better, but they don't get it.
Yeah.
They go to the lowest denominator. I got a problem here. Let me go fix it.
Exactly.
And that's where they spend their time and their energy. What they should be doing is spending time cultivating their top performers. So your strategy should be getting huge,
yep,
getting big. I know you've got some kind of ambition as far as being this, you know, corporate exec.
Well, I wouldn't say corporate exec. I'd say running a branch.
Running a branch.
Because I like when we meet, I'm like, I can implement a lot of these things, but my hands are tied behind my back because I don't have the power to implement them. And then when I push them, it's like, well, we've never done it that way. And I'm like, yeah, like
that's well, funny. You know, and look, I was talking to a guy at, I'll just say it, PNC.
Okay.
He's got about 150 million in assets.
That's a nice chunk.
But, you know, he hasn't been there long, so a lot of it's inherited. And so right now his payout's like
20%. Okay.
And I'm trying to help him grow, but he doesn't have a team. And his CA left. It's been over a month, and he doesn't have any kind of a replacement yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a little bit frustrated.
Yep.
Because he can't grow the practice the way he wants. He should have a team.
Yep.
The age of the sole practitioner is over. But that's a firm. They're not understanding teaming and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So they're behind times.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that you have to decide is, do you want to be one of these supercharged advisors, you know, building a billion-dollar team? And if your firm can't compliment you, should you be considering something else?
Yep. Yeah, that's my thought. So I'm building up my managed money a lot, because that's the one thing that you can take with you without, there's no non-compete on that.
Right. And then you can, you know, these firms are paying, 200 to 300% of the trailing 12.
Yeah.
So you build it up, you get a big check, yep. You know, when you go.
That and, you know, it's nice now with the overrides on my team, like, you know, that's getting nice. And, you know, I'm excited for next year, because hopefully, you know, we have to hit certain numbers to get bonuses as far as hiring goes.
Right.
Next year will be more development of the managers I have. So maybe I can only have to hire two and I could actually spend time with the people I like. And I
right.
Because unfortunately now, kind of like same thing you said, is the people that aren't doing well, I need them to get to their numbers to get my bonus. So I'm spending right. people I don't really want. And I don't like that format, but it's like it affects my income. So it's like.
Yeah. See what you can do to build your team and the right people, get the right people on the bus yeah. that are surrounding you. And I think you'll be fine. You know, right now you have the opportunity to be a big fish in a big pond.
Yeah.
No. So. You know, so you cultivate that. But I understand your struggle. In business, you're going to go through different stages of struggles. So this won't be the only one.
And I appreciate that. And, you know, I think of like North Carolina and like, you know, it's not that I would start all over, right? I have like my income, like I would have like part of my management comp. Yeah, you know, moving to that partner level may not be there, but then I think maybe lifestyle wise, the lifestyle could be better. So it's like, I may make as much, but I don't need as much. And
right.
I can always meet people. I have no fear of doing that and rebuilding it. So
no, you've got the personality for that. Yeah. So the thing is when does it occur? What is the life plan?
Yep. So go over that.
The life path is that a 2-year goal? Is it a 3-year goal? Is it a 5-year goal? Cause you're a young man.
Well, Well, I'm almost 40. I look young, but I'm almost
40. Yeah. You know, by 45, you should pretty much have your stride.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. By 45, you should have your stride. You should have your sense of direction and where you're headed.
Perfect. The other thing is, you know, moving forward with us, I would like it. My thought is, you know, when I have my other, the other managers that we have, maybe we all can jump on the call with you. I think we do it like once a month.
Yeah.
Like then we would all talk about it after, because I think they could really use the coaching from you. And
okay,
you know, they're young guys. They're very excited.
Okay.
You know, and I think they can definitely. So I think in January we could start that. That's when they'll be around.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that. Look, here's the thing. You've got to think that the money that you pay me comes back to you, you know, in incremental value.
Yep.
Okay.
I think so. So
yeah, we're good. I mean, you know, you have to say at the end of the day that, did Curtis help me manage my practice better? Did he help me get focused to where I can bring in more income? You know, is it paying for itself? And that's the value. I think the value is clearly there. And yeah, I would like to continue to work with you.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I think we've got to really now, to me, the next level is really getting that team really refined and really, really built.
Yep.
In fact, you know, one of the things I wanted to do today is, I wanted to spend some time just with a checklist. Most advisors right now are at this apex, and the apex is trying to finish up the year on a good note so that they can get their recognition titles and promotions and then also kick off a new year.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be kicking off a new year in January because 1/12 of the year will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a checklist in the team's book. It's on page 202. And it says you got to have your business plan and strategy document complete with goals for accomplishment. You're examining the team leadership styles and how you all, you know, kind of complement each other. You've done a SWOT analysis. You've examined the team's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You know, what are the things that can derail your team? Loss of a quality person.
Yep.
You know, so how do we prevent that from happening? Team vision statement. In the big scheme of things, who do we want to be? You know, what's our vision for what we're trying to build? I mean, Equitable's got, you know, their vision about who they want to be. Who do you all want to be?
Yeah.
Your mission, your value proposition. What's the promise that you are delivering to your customers when they do business with you? Go ahead.
What page was that on? Because I have the book. I'm on my bookshelf to see it.
202.
202.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'll find it later.
Yeah. Page 202. And so get that promise, that value prop. Do you have a 30-second elevator pitch, that describes this is what we do. This is how we do it. This is who we are. Team communication strategies. Having effective team meetings, team collaboration, you know, getting leverage, the force multiplier effect. Now, you know, the force multiplier effect, you brought in this person to handle the operational side of the business, but then you got this whole group that they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So now you gotta coach them on what that force multiplier really is.
Yeah. I agree. My thought is to roll her out maybe in January.
I'll do that with your folks if you want.
Yeah.
Get them on a Zoom call. I'll talk to them.
That'd be great.
You know, get a series of, put together a series of agendas, you know, that, you want me to speak to with that group. And then what we'll do is we'll send them away with some things that they should do. Okay. You know, you had this agenda. We talked about this. Now go out, implement it, and then we'll debrief on the next call and we'll go into some new material.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The forecasting of growth and goal setting. You know, we should do those what if scenarios with everybody. You know, if you grow here, this is the kind of money that you're going to earn. Now, money in and of itself isn't a sufficient motivator. So you've got to figure out what is the motivation for these people.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah, that's huge. Like, you know, just in the time I've spent with you, learning your motivations, part of your motivation is the power and prestige that comes from kind of being in control. The other part is providing for your family.
Yep.
And lifestyle. So, you know, you've got to have a set of goals that deal with the business, and then you got to have a set of goals that deal with the lifestyle, and then look at where they intersect. Okay. And we talked about onboarding new team members and who takes part of that. What's the strategy for how we onboard people so that, you know, when you are introducing a concept, you got people with good attitudes.
So onboarding that our firm locally does a horrible job at.
Yeah.
And the thing that happens is all of our resources are in Miami.
Okay. So
our managers or our partners are in Miami. The two partners are in Miami. So when someone comes on board in Miami, it's like a great experience because everyone's local and they know who they are. Where outside of Miami, you know, they're getting a new advisor on my team gets emails from corporate all over. They don't know who these people are. And I've kind of stressed, we need like a kit. We need something. And you know, every time I explain it, they're like, oh no, they meet with them. And I'm like, well, no, they don't. They send an email and they're like, oh, I don't know who Curtis is. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm like, we've got to find a better way to do the onboarding and really make it like an experience, I think, and make it.
Exactly. Like you know, in Washington DC, all the sales managers, we got together and we put everybody, all our new hires, we did a thing at the Regional Operations Center. We took them through, you know, how to cold call, how to prospect, how to close. We had a notebook full of stuff and articles, and each of us taught a segment so gotcha. That those guys could come out rocking and rolling.
How long was that?
It was probably over a period of like 2.5 days.
So was that like, just a role play for me, is it like maybe I came on board in January and then you did it like in June, or you just did it every month, or how did you do it?
We did it probably once a quarter.
Once a quarter, okay.
Yeah. And, we could bring in guest speakers. Would have a dinner, you know, in the evening. And, you know, we just decided we'd run our own program.
Yeah, I think
Princeton had theirs, but we created something that we felt was better.
Gotcha. Did you do anything like special when someone came on board, like to make it memorable, like their first day, or had like a booklet you gave them, or?
Yeah, when they came in, on the first day, they had to, go through, some videos that oriented them to the organization.
Yep.
Then, they got introduced to the training manager in the office. They got assigned the desk. They had, a checklist of activities that they went through. You know, most folks had to work as a sales assistant, you know, for a few weeks to really understand that job.
Okay.
Then I moved them back into the operations area to understand that job.
Mm-hmm.
And so the operations manager took that responsibility.
Gotcha.
I had, somebody, they had to make presentations to me on, you know, 10 core product areas. And I used the Socratic method in, teaching them. And they were role plays. And they came in, and then after the role play, I would critique them. I'd say, you know, you did this very well, but we got to work on your creative opening. You didn't excite me. You know, I was bored to tears. You gave me all the features of the product, but you didn't tell me how it was going to help me. So there was no benefits. So let's understand the difference between a feature and a benefit. Okay. And you kept talking. You didn't close me.
Yep. Let me, most likely.
So I would take them through that stuff, and they had to come into my office. They had to set up an appointment and come and meet me.
Gotcha.
I didn't set it up. They had to call, my assistant and, set up an appointment, to meet with me. And she says, what's this in regards to? This is about, talking to Curtis about the cash management account. Okay. Why don't you come in at 11:30 on Wednesday?
Yep.
Okay. Then they came in and all nervous the first few times, and then they had to, you know, make their presentation, their pitch.
Gotcha.
And then they had to have all the paperwork ready in order for me to sign on the dotted line and open up the account.
Okay. Well, that's good feedback. I don't think we do enough role playing, and, you know, I get so caught up on getting people, where they need to be for the end of the year, you know, for my numbers too, that, you know, we kind of go away from a lot of that. And
I train the living daylights out of people.
Yeah.
And they love me for it.
Yeah. People want to make money and be good at their craft.
Yeah. They want to be good. So there's a, you know, making sure that anybody that's on a team has a team agreement. I don't know if Equitable has templates for that, but, you know, people have to know that there is a consequence if they leave after you've done all this training and all this work. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they just pack up and split.
They may have it for what they call a producer group.
Okay.
But I think in general, like when someone comes on board, I don't think they have that.
Then you can create a moral covenant.
Yep.
Okay. Which says, you know, I'm going to operate with the highest degree of integrity. I'm going to show up on time. I'm going to accept the fact that the training is for purpose.
Yep. No, that's good feedback. And I do think we got to get back into now we could start doing some in-person trainings because with COVID, it's hard virtual with everything. And we've got stuff that like the culture is not what it should be. And
I think
it's been hurting us. So
that's been happening everywhere, but look at the earnings that every firm, despite COVID, has.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's off the charts.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. People working from home.
Yeah. So I just think the harder part is just new. Anyone who's established is good, but brand new people.
It's hard for brand new people.
The brand new people is the harder part.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, you know, pay attention to, you know, that checklist. You know, you're a good guy. Keep, you know, going back to Supernova, supernovaing your team. You know, you had a conversation with so-and-so and now you're following up. Before they leave the room, I'm going to meet with you on Wednesday at 2:15, and we're going to talk about what you've been able to implement over the last, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Because, see, if you do that, people will not think you're BSing.
Yeah, I know, agree.
You know, they'll think, oh, he's going to check on me. He's going to want to know exactly where I stand. And you're going to be their accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
And phrase it that way. I'm your accountability partner. I want to make sure you're doing the right thing so that you can accelerate your growth.
So as Curtis says, you grew, and also you managed a lot of people, right? I mean, were you doing one-on-ones like once a month, or as your teams grew so much? I that's the hard part I'm finding is allocating the right time to everything.
Okay. All right. I want you to take a page out of the martial arts. Okay.
Sure.
All right. So, I'm a, you know, black belt, and, you know, I started, you know, teaching everybody, giving them lessons. And, I got really, really busy.
Yep.
And so I started taking a few people and developing them, and they became instructors for the lower belts, basically replicating exactly the model I had. And, you know, I kept developing them, and then all of a sudden another person would come up that could start to handle students. Now, at first, I paid them for their lessons, and then I started the ones that were starting to do it on a full-time basis, I paid them.
Gotcha.
So it's like I'm training the trainers, training future leaders. And then they went to tournaments and competed, and they could run the whole class. I could be gone for a week and they could handle everything.
Yeah.
I taught them how to, the pitch. So somebody would call in because they saw an ad and I was located between a McDonald's and a school. And they'd say, look, this is Danny Valadez. Thank you for your interest in coming to, the United Karate Federation. Let me tell you how things work. We start you off with an introductory, course of 5 lessons, $19.50. And, it's with you and one instructor in a private lesson room because we don't want people to be embarrassed or anything. So they knew the whole pitch, knew how to close it. So when can I set you up for your first lesson? We've got some availability on Tuesday morning or on Wednesday in the afternoon. What would you prefer? Close it. They'd come in and, you know, they knew how to say, you know, look, on the fourth lesson, we run a progress check. We evaluate, your ability, your skills, your coordination. And then they knew how to sign them up on a contract, which at the time was, you know, $500 for 52 private classes and 52 group classes.
Yep.
So you've got to train the trainers.
Gotcha. I think what happened with me is as we did that and our team grew, like I was saying, we got them going management, they moved to different cities. So then.
You did so good.
What?
You did it so well.
No, we did it really well, but what I meant is when we brought on new people now, I think why I get a little frustrated because before I would have referred them to those people.
Right.
And not have done a lot of the kind of the back end. So no, I got to retrain some new people.
So is there a commitment that people should make before they go off to the hinterlands? Do they have to be with you for at least 3 years, 4 years before they can jump? And then what's behind those people? You know, what's your succession plan look like?
Yeah.
Cause you know, this person is going to be transitioning out. What's behind him?
Yeah, we got to do a better job at that. So
yeah. Okay. So wow. It's tweaking, right?
Yeah. So that's good feedback.
Okay. So, well, that's really, I think, it in terms of, you know, conversation for today. Is there anything else on your mind that you wanted to talk about?
No, I thought today was very helpful and, it feels nice to get you to myself and, no, I appreciate all the feedback and help, man. So
very. Well, you know, and maybe, in this structure going forward, we have to structure occasionally one-on-one time.
Yeah.
You know, it can't always be group. Maybe, you know, every third session is a one-on-one.
Yeah, that could work.
I could do one-on-one for 30 minutes and then I could do the group for another 30.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So we can work combinations out. We can.
Yeah, I'll bring it up to the team and go from there.
Okay. Well, look, enjoy your Friday and hug your wife and your kid and start working your life's plan. Okay.
Appreciate it, Curtis.
All righty. You take care. Bye bye.
You too, man. Bye.